And so, we are delighted to welcome the fruit of poetic collaboration tonight. That would be the collaboration, as I understand it, between Amy Trussell and Nancy Doherty. I do not know the name of our musician, so I think I may just turn it over to you guys to do your own introduction here. But I'll point out simply that Amy and Nancy have a number of books that you'll have a chance to check out over here, poetic volumes. And we are very happy to welcome them here to Many Rivers Books. And can you please join me in doing so?
Long and dusty road, it's a hard and heavy road. Hopes I meet not always find. Some are bad, some are good, some have done the best they could. Some have tried to ease my troubling mind. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound. I've been wandering through this land, doing the best I can, trying to find what I was meant to do. And the people that I see, they're worried as can be, and it looks like they are wandering too. I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. And I had me a buddy back home, and he started off to roam. And he's out by the San Francisco Bay. And sometimes when I've had a few, his old voice comes ringing through. I'm going out to see him some old day. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. If you see me passing by, and you sit and wonder why, wish that you were a rambler too. Nail your shoes to the kitchen floor, lace them up and bar the door. Thank your stars for the roof that's over you. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound.
That's an old song by Tom Paxton. My name is Kathy Farrelly, and I've been playing that song since I was 15. So I'm going to launch into one more, and then I'll be doing a little background thing during some of the reading. And this one came to me from a band called the Incredible String Band. This is one of their more accessible. This is partly prompted just by the idea of home and also the very wintry weather that some of our friends and relations have been enduring back east.
All across this wide country, winter has now begun. Now is the time to slip away from the California sun to a place where a man can be free as the wind, wild as the husky sky. Winter is my let us fly to my log cabin home in the sky. Snow piling all around the door, with many a log on the stove. Chickadees sing a comforting song. I'll show you it's you that I love. Oh, let us how they won't find us there by the soft oil lamp we will buy. back on the ground. The glare of the lights gets much too dim, and the music plays too loud. When a man has come from the deep he has come, calling those days with the tide. Winter is my letter, fly to my log cabin, home in the sky.
Thank you, all of you, for being here, and I am delighted to see some of my family that just walked in. I just want to give a special warm welcome to everyone, and little Henry, who I, well, this will be a little more than a nursery rhyme for him. Too bad, Henry. But anyways, thank you, all of you friends, for coming up for this special night. I just, it's heartwarming to me. And I am just so happy to be here with Amy and Kathy and to get a chance to share some of the poetry we've written together over the last 4 years. And Amy is an incredible poet, author of 5 books, and she's also a collage artist. We each brought a couple of our collages. She makes these incredible storyboards with her collages. She also, it's noteworthy to know that her poems over the years have received recognition numerous years for an annual contest that is sponsored by the Pirate Alley's Faulkner Society in New Orleans. 1 year she placed second, the next a finalist, a semi-finalist, and it goes on. But that's one of many things that she's accomplished. And Kathy, as you can hear, is a wonderful musician, and we're so happy to have her as part of our, to make it from a duo to a trio, and just to add the gift of her music. And she plays the guitar, the auto harp, the fiddle, and she's a beautiful singer, as you've heard. And she's originally from New Jersey, and Amy and I just learned this interesting piece of her personal history, that she played at many well-known coffee houses in New York City, including the complete works of Charles Dickens at Fordham University, and Gertie's Folk City, where Dylan, Peter, Paul, and Mary she saw and was part of that crowd. So, go Kathy. Yes, you were part. Anyways, well, to get to the poetry, one poet I've enjoyed over the years is Philip Booth, and I'm going to read a poem inspired by one of his poems. He has a book of essays called "How Poems Happen," and trying to say it. And this excerpt resonated with me because of the work Amy and I have done. It speaks to that spirit that we've brought to it. Even when we think art comes out of nowhere, art comes out of everywhere. The everywhere we don't know until we begin to join words or chisel stone or fling paint. Art transforms us to the extent and depth that our lives have informed us. So I'm going to begin reading, and I think you'll get a sense of our process. Amy and I have, with our writing over the years, read different poets and taken poems we've liked and lines from them and written in response to them. And we've done different fun things. We've harvested nouns and verbs from various works and put them, rearranged them. And nice to sleep in an exploration of poets, names like Marianne Moore, who says, "Messengers, much like ourselves, explain it. Steadfastness, the darkness, makes explicit. Lucretius, Rilke, Sandburg, Alice Toklas, David Ferry, Mark Doty. I can go on. Who are we? But anyways, we've enjoyed reading them. The first poem I'll read is called Was a Turtle, and the epigram is Was a Man by Philip Booth. Home was parasol to sun, whipped by spring winds, fragrant with love and song, blue jays and robins. Home was a citadel to grooving down dirt of possibility. So what if grounded in scootness and angles beneath Icarus' shadow? Was the woman with tresses locked in turret of keratin, a moving path muck, glassy-eyed gaggle of stares and squawks, dome of complacency is home. Next poem is called Beach House in Hingham, inspired by this following quote from Louise Gluck's poem called Figs. Whatever happened in that window, we were in harmony with it. Listening to the other's breath, like gulls that circle, hour after hour, midnight coasting in on froth of tide, ebbs into consciousness, the never-ending slosh and crash of waves, rhythmic as our breathing, lulling us that long summer's night, slumber not coming. The motion of salt water and sand held us buoyant and awake. The stickiness of your chest to my hand, resting, then rising, falling, locked together as eternal, expected. What is captured in long undertow? Memories of a moment within four walls, the open window to the ocean? Earlier, open window to cheers of 4th of July revelry. Around a bonfire on the beach, several houses down. Like gulls circling, the neighbors were piling on logs and driftwood, stepping up, stepping back, talking, laughter. The flames shot up higher, higher than the rooftops. Its crackle and warmth engulfed us as we walked by, children in tow. Late afternoon glow across water to shore, to heat of fire, heat of history, boom of cannons and artillery. The embers long died down, like our bodies were the fields we wandered in search of sweet nothings. These next two poems are shorter pieces and a little different, partly because they're based on collages. Mm-hmm. And collages kind of mix things up. So, first poem is called The Trip Evokes. The calm of the sunlight and pasture. Best old-fashioned malt served. Those carefree days, holding me by the bare waist. And no one even knew about my, heart for its withheld drip. Red marauder, stiffening my limbs. Onion rings and banana splits, the other part of me. Memories of a simpler time, nagging, least expected places. And this next is called Cattle Driving Abstraction. The post-shootout years, the lost photograph, ancient action. If we meet Ansel Adams, I'll have to kill him. or he'll kill me. Yeah. In human form divine, were the vermilion cliffs, wilderness of a human figure. Go from cliffs to bogs. This is called Dancing on a Bog. Inspired by a quote from the Maidu, and that quote is, "I sprout, I the black oak acorn, I sprout, I sprout." Something so elemental about that, maybe pagan, that drew me to this. Dancing on a bog. Upward, upward, I reach to square of sky, to pluck clouds, to pluck the heart of heaven. Would that I knew those names and dances, to know, to honor Sky Father and Queen Earth Isis. But I am blinded by color and blinded by a millennium of traditions and shallow culture. It's as if all that is left is some old sepia photograph with teardrops and more forgotten drops to form pebbles of quartz and obsidian below placid Lake Willow. Fish mouths open to rainbows, to children born grown, their teeth shine. Litanies flow into creek beds, damsel flies hover. Here are the seeds of creativity spoken by the Maidu. I sprout, I, the black oak acorn, I sprout, I sprout. And they say the black acorns fall from heaven and the mountains cascade into valleys and turn into beading, painting, and weaving to sing of the peaks. I am dancing on a bog, silt of decomposition, bark and needles of the ponderosa, sponge of my existence this August midday, pulsing as if the heat were coiling in geometric pattern, upward, upward, the stone cat sleeps. This next poem is another collage poem that a friend of mine got for a card. It's called Wilder Women. We stand in it deep, where terrible lizards snap, where remains of the world live in both memories and bogs. At that, we get a different sense of dawn. This next piece is inspired by a line called "We Are Already in the End of Something." And sometimes Amy and I lose lines, and there's like little notes that has beside it, insomniac and yearning, but I couldn't for the life of me locate it. There's a lot of insomniac poems out there. this is called Reawakening in Highland Park. And Highland Park is home of my mother and of my grandparents. And I have relatives that go back to Milwaukee and Chicago, so I feel sort of some of my roots lie there. Reawakening in Highland Park. Phone rings, 12:30. We are already apart. What rushes through us unites in wireless embrace in the end. Floats out the window under crack, sash drawn just so, goodbyes into darkening of something. Blown our thoughts halfway across Great Lake, brisk, forbidding, the sky is dusking in the end of something. The geese migrate across grayness as phone rings, honks. We are already rushing to answer the honeysuckle of something in the end. This last poem, and then we'll hear from Amy, is called It's Then That I Noticed the Bug on the Plane. The return home is like the end of an odyssey. Skies still blue, perhaps even bluer than Istanbul or any mood. This anxiety, pushing back in reverse time's security. This watch that moves forward. Men have writ of the past, of topics like liberty and its roots, Homeric undertakings. Does history require this cunning, this crawling over the last of the remains, the running narrative of our humanity? I wonder what the eye of the Egyptian hieroglyph means that peers at us from the obelisk in Sultan Hamid Square, or the sarcophagus of mummies, what do they see in us, in such knowing fashion as we build and pursue our own temporal dreams, individual and skyscraper high, with stamp of our Western tradition, our democracy built upon that of neighboring Athens, but here, the remains and grip of the Ottoman Empire, its glory still shining and worshipped in Topkapi Palace, still tightening its eastern hold in Taksim Square, freedoms newly found. Now rights of individuals threatened, what dreams once for moving forward, for time is moving forward, inexorable like this bug working up its way up the aisle. Thank you.
Sounds like a dove.
Yeah.
Back to me now. This is a song from Gordon Bach, who's a Maine singer-songwriter. And here's another song that Nancy and I were talking about our relations back east and the perils of winter. And this is a song about the advantages of hunkering down. Mm-hmm. It's called Turning Toward the Morning. When the deer has bedded down and the bear has gone to ground and the northern goose has wandered on to warmer days of sound. It's so easy in the cold to feel the darkness of the deer and the heart is growing lonely for the morning. Mama Joanie, don't you know that the stars are swinging slow and the seas are rolling easy as they did so long ago? And if I had a thing to give you, tell you one more time that the world is always turning toward the morning. October's growing thin, November's coming home. You'll be thinking of the season and the sad things that you've seen. Hear that old wind walking, hear him singing high and thin. You could swear he's out there singing of your sorrow. The darkness falls around you, the north wind comes to blow. You hear him call your name out as he walks the brittle snow. That old wind don't mean you trouble. You don't
care or even know. He's just walking down the darkness toward the moon. I'm a Joni, don't you know, that the stars are swinging slow, and the seas are roaring as it is so long ago. If I had a thing to give you, I would tell you one more time, but the world is always turning toward the moon. Flowers know they can't face the cold November, they can't take the wind and snow. They put their glories all behind them, bow their heads and let it go, but you know they'll be there shining in the morning. The stars are swinging slow, and the seas are rolling easy, as it is so long ago. If I had a thing to tell you, I'd tell you one more time, that the world is always turning toward the moon.
Gordon Bach? Mm-hmm. Be okay.
So, thank you, Kathy, Nancy, and her song reminded me that we also noted that the time is close to Candlemas, when you can tell the light's a little stronger. So. Hey, for that, I thought, oh no, the end of January, it's going to be cold and rainy, and nobody's going to come. But Candlemas is also the beginning of spring in Ireland, so I guess we're matching up with Ireland again. So the first poem I'm going to read is Movie Prop Tales. But my voice dwindled in the roar of the storm. We were running along the coast with a kite, an electrical storm, and the water was a liquid lightning rod, so we stuck close together, magnetized, as crabs ran out of the water. Our kite string blowing through the ethers was cotton, not fishing line. But we were still vulnerable to the fire and the squalls that come in waves out from the eye. We were getting sand blown. In Christ, the particles were driving into us like tiny nails, so we ran to the old hotel where the windows were boarded. We were always like that, trying to live our grand experiment. Flying a kite when the barometer needle was going crazy, cooking over a bonfire in the driveway, squeezing our lower bodies into movie prop tails to get next to the dolphins. Partners in no crime except for drinking Virgin Marys and playing cards beneath a cheap chandelier which we knew someday might fall. And then the next one is my quintessential, well, really my only obvious Sevastopol poem called The Spirit Mirror, or I'll make it obvious if it's not. I just had to put a little quote in the beginning, which is, it's getting hot in here, and Dale probably knows what that's from. And when they were building the Barlow, they had a sign out, and their motto was, it's getting hot in here. Little motto up the side of the sign. A catacomb or some other ruin is what my tooth looked like when blown up on the screen at the dentist. So when the crown design was to be sent to the milling machine, everything went haywire, stopped. This day, when a drifting planet was making a dark spot on the sun, it was so quiet. The hygienist looked out the window, not for the Greek Hygieia, but for Venus, even though she and the sun were tangling directly above us on the roof. One asked the other if anyone had any welding helmets. Not just goggles to confront soul's brightness, but full skull protection as though a chunk were going to fall out of the sky. Like a meteorite. And yes, this transit presented itself that way. A welder's torch let go sparks that snuck beneath a crack in a warehouse door in Sebastopol and caught a rack of vintage clothes on fire. Woolens and lace flamed up with an arsenic smell, then melted like the Wicked Witch. In our little town, some are superstitious, and black magic was the gossip at the wells and the watering holes. An alleged spirit mirror faced the faded racks of clothes, where one could see ghosts by looking inside your own eyes. Some hoodoo student with a candle and maybe something flammable in the flask must have snuck in. A girl in fishnets was rumored to have been running up the street late. Next morning, rain on the half-burnt shell of the building. Finally, when I got home, I looked at the glued-on crown in the mirror in the bathroom. I had seen many things crash and burn in my life. Even our neighbor's house that turned out to be a meth lab. But here, I could count many lucky stars, including this mouthful of Pepsi. Someday soon, I'll transport a rose stem with them. Sky, still holding up, with broom straws and luck. And since it's Valentine's, I'll do an unusual Valentine's poem. Well, Valentine's coming up. Which reminds me to tell you, look at all the beautiful gifts you can buy here for your lover. Product placement. I was just confronted with the smell of rose, and that makes me want to buy perfume. So this is Sweetheart Suicide Trip. Said Sweetheart Suicide Trip, meaning Valentine's Trip, that we didn't see the whites of our eyes, other's eyes, till after, on Bridget's 13th supper. We toasted her in our not-so-aphrodisiac dinner of artichokes and oysters plied with Kerrygold butter, then filled the table with husks and shells there in the deep south, acting like know-it-all archaeologists dragging the river for the submerged knockoffs that fell from barges, like a first mate's second-hand watch gone down deep in a muddy pocket. Or collected Sandy, which went overboard at the turn of the century, and pieces of the old hotel, the old haunt, that shook violently in the flood. We nailed down Hemingway, lamenting the way he offed himself, never stepping away from the wreckage. Over sarsaparilla floats, we remember how innocent the word was as we first knew it. Suicide. A mix of several different kinds of pops. RC Cola, Fanta, Mountain Dew, etc. It was picking several poisons at once, enough to dissolve the teeth if attempted often. then if you grew up, you might have to get them all replaced with cadaver's bones, bovine or Homo erectus, or both. Hell, we mused, there was even that woman who lost her face in a boating accident and then had it rebuilt. Her plastic surgeon fell deep in love, not able to get over his masterpiece. The boat needed more than caulking, too. They rode in it through the yard for the wedding, pulled by a tractor to the jerry-rigged altar. We nearly did face plants off the hay bale, already sprouting with spring grass. You rubbed the stubble of your 5 o'clock shadow, nodding. The wedding cake was shoveled out in flower pots, and the spirits on the fence's dark side clowned around and brought down rain as we cast bird seed at them, and it all fell into the soon-to-be fertile dirt. And this is hidden in the half shell. And the quote that we used and the prompt we wrote from on this was, one plot can lead to further plotting. When paths mix unexpectedly, you can discover a confection you never knew about. Or maybe a butcher worth his weight in upper shoulder cut knowledge. Who turns into an abalone diver, pounding and tenderizing what's hidden in the half shell, willing and able to travel beneath the reverse torrents of the sleeper waves and season your life with kelp undone knot by knot. One who's willing to disband the snake's nest in the garden and kill one ceremoniously, or serpent gumbo flavored with two fingers worth of sherry. If you provide a mortar, he can crush the seeds you have foraged in the French waysides and ditches, and plan the chapters of a book based on the aromas of smoke in an empty room. Dig out morels and sassafras root in the rain. A mud-covered hand waves to you from the swimming pool after he tells you, yes, that mermaids are real. And then I'm going to do one last one for this little part we're doing. And this is the soul is an albino alligator. And I decided I really wanted to do it because Nancy and I had talked about going to the literary, what do you call it, seminar in Key West, and we'd really almost done it, and then just didn't quite work out. I actually didn't quite have the energy, but we still have it on our list, on our bucket list to go there for Key West. You know, we want it to actually not succumb to global warming and still be there. The soul is an albino alligator. Full length mirrors doubling and tripling won't hold back the search into the torch spirit, intriguing and silent, or burning like an overturned car. You yearn for nothing except for a more satisfying yearning, high octane, that could fuel a souped-up skylark, not a low-grade tawdry trip through the house of mirrors, mantled and dismantled by those carny types Mother always warned you about. One sits on a chair in the dirt with a handheld mirror putting on her face, wearing bloomers and a bustier, while her fake city of coaster scaffolding and hung Cupid dolls rises above her, around her, the Carney brothers dangling cigarettes out the side of their mouths over dried grass and generators. she builds make-believe walls around her from thin air, mm-hmm. acting like we just don't see her, make herself up. The air darkens and the searchlights go up, caressing the clouds, suggesting yet that this is it. This is what you've been meaning to come to. A lit wheel suspended in air for a moment, allowing time for that kiss you've been dying for. Some snacks that could kill your appetite till the next day. Those lotus-cut onion blooms swimming in a vat of bubbling oil. But your yearning is loftier than that. Inspiration. To hear Brigitte Bardot and her sidekicks sing Bonnie and Clyde, making murder and mayhem sound elegant, if not sexy. To ride down the Florida Keys in a sidecar with some hellion at the driving wheel, searching for albino alligators along sand-blown train tracks, while shooting from the hip towards a soul retrieval. How real.
Thank you, Amy, for such wonderful pieces and journeys. I feel like I've really been somewhere else to come back. This final part of our reading will be, we'll be reading three sets of poems, one each, and they are each from the same prompt. So you get a feeling of where one takes, where Amy goes and where I go. So it's just kind of fun. This first prompt was from the poet David Shapiro in his book, To an Idea, from a sonnet, and is the line, teaching us tricks in the dusky light of your devices. And here's my poem from that. Hurricane Trickery of Gladys. Teaching us how to lie very still, rigid, if you will, a spontaneous mummy to wait. How to count the seconds after the flash that rattle and zaps your sleepy limbs to electric pink. 1, then 2 seconds. Yet another horizontal band disappears into horizon of your sleep pasture. How, in dusky light of the day after, Gladys will pull you and friends to the wreckage on the shores of Cape May, that August of 77, the littered finery of her intent to wipe out the old Victorians. How all of you trudged through the knee-high waters, under stars and dark skies, scanning the broken night, ensnared by oblivion of hidden wires, too, to find nothing, so in luck, but a floating city.
And my poem from the David Shapiro quote is Earthquake Light. The birds swoop and regain height, while I almost lose footing watching them swirl and create spatial patterns above a world of chaos, perching on a fallen log. I hope we'll one day live to become petrified. The inner dialogue stops for a moment, as heart reflects on the flash that occurred with the earthquake, how electromagnetic energy releases from the earth in a case like that. Turns out the man with the open guitar case and a prosthetic leg is my friend's son in front of the library. He is singing to traffic and makes more money than you think. We say more power to him, and his singing probably made it rain last night in our drought-stricken land, where even houses of the holy have given up watering their grounds, and if Jesus were to appear at the Eel River, he'd only have a few puddles to try to walk on. and we have to impress us with other tricks in the ashy light. How to capture wild yeast and multiply it on a dwindling supply of honey. How to trust enough to crowd dive and crowd surf and float lifted among the hands. How to affect a ceasefire in the worn, torn areas of the heart. How to be a carpenter and arc your mind out over the water. Then reel in sinking ships and rebuild a space in time.
Introduce the prompt.
You were going to.
Oh, for
Alcibiodocus.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So our next set of poems comes from the Alcibiodocus cookbook, which is a wonderful cookbook with all this commentary. As you know, she was a partner of Gertrude Stein, and they were in the Europe in World War II. And so we harvested, as Nancy says, some very descriptive words from that volume and just made our own poems with them. So Nancy, you'll start.
Okay.
This is called Little Ladies. The porcelain of the doll faces was commonplace. Those days, the gaze azure and straight, direct to the heart, even if quartered. She took it on cue that the toy prom was not to be substituted for the real, not for the younger brother. This was commonplace too. The pandemonium wrought by fine herbs or vegetables from the garden, macerated and stewed in a bouillon of bone. She hears the locomotive of each doll step, their rustle, their certitude, like the nouns and verbs that arrive in a postcard from Aunt Nell, from her Aunt Nell in Florida. Now diced to an obscurity. She should have left Illinois a long time ago, left the dolls to commence her own pursuits, to let the sweet taste of antiqued memories like a liqueur to brew for another 100 years. What blushes and dimpled smiles to indulge in this old world of the oversized, overreal porcelain dolls, bred and wed into adulthood. She never remembers seeing real tears, now blundering into their closets, looking for their little hats, shoes, a coat or shawl for the walk. Instead, she only finds a box of buttons, a shredded fragment of a gray woolen overcoat, the pram with but 3 wheels.
I knew smoldering cones of power. You could hear the shapeshifters in the night with their acrid voices that sounded like smoldering cones of power. But you want to entrust yourself to their scheming. In a disguise, you left out some silk peaches for them and committed yourself to staying up all night to spy and see if they would terrorize the place with burnt water in the cauldron. The tea you drank was bitter and tannic, but the last of the milk helped you dilute it. You decide to start a broth with a new bone from the butcher, while stirring bitter and tangy gullet seasoning. You prayed to see your father in a dream, induced by the bright packet of phosphorescent fish you also introduced into the broth, which was tickly on the throat. Rise of peregrine moon. The evening primrose was effervesced in the deer rib cage that you could see in the field that the coyotes had finished off. The vultures. They made a percussive sound as they pecked the spine, mingling around their talismanic sacrifice in the glistening moonlight.
This next set of poems were inspired by a prompt by the poet Alice Fulton in her book, her poem, Triptych for a Topological Heart. Mine is called Unmapped. The car alarm goes off, wavering in waves of shrillness above steady beat of bongo drums in distance. As if there were a halftime that morning, ticking its way away from the dark, deep sludge of dream. Dogs barking, a whirring of some sort. Another trespasser. This disease of the heart, her heart. The jabber that I cup my hands over to hear my mother earth. The gossip trails through spruce, ash, and oak. So many subspecies it was. Awkward country in land of asphalt and rationed water. And I hold back my tears, embrace myself for the next juggernaut. They say she's having trouble with her balance, wobbling off axis. A million deaths and stethoscopes prying into her ravines and reefs. All are now scientists equipped to diagnose. I lose the compass of my heart, of my thoughts. Drumbeats resound within. Still, I'll grow another blossom, another tonsil, for the bouquet I want to harvest.
Good poem. My poem, it has an Aztec title, but sure, I will mangle it, but I'll try to do honor and not make the Aztec spirits mad at me, because that wouldn't be good. But it's Tezcatlipoca, which is a creation myth, and it had an alligator in it, and I didn't know that there was kind of this resonance that I was writing about of that myth until my friend said, isn't that what you were writing about? And I actually had no idea about it, so it's kind of neat. And I wish he were here to pronounce it. In the still of the night, a skull falls off of the shelf of the skull department in the museum. Dylan said, if they could see what I had seen, they probably put my head in a guillotine. He holds my head, the chiropractor, and says softly in my ear, now just pretend I'm going to rip your head off. And then we crack up and he adjusts me. That's true. In ancient Cairo, it was customary to grind mummified bones, still wrapped in gauze, and then use them as snuff for a multiplicity of symptoms and malaise. A few days ago, I glanced at one of my angels, and all the blood had drained from his face as though he had seen a ghost. Another dark soul night coming down. Like a skeleton. I'll get it. Falling out of the closet when you open the door suddenly. Sometimes it says to simply step off the tracks or roll down the hill if the macabre robbers are on top of you wanting to steal your soul. Then Morpheus may show up wearing a lanyard and bringing sleep, the great leveler, to send them all away. Banishment, darkness, peace.
return, inspirited. A brilliant double rainbow in the east at the end of our street the next day. Crepuscular rays in the golden west. As we gaze enrapt, my neighbor murmurs to me, the Mayans believe the rainbow is a sign of death. They'd run in their houses and shut their doors. But we see lips in the clouds and a friendly crocodile.
We have one last poem that we're going to read together. And before that, I just want to be sure to thank Rob and Jim for hosting this event and for all their Thursday events. They're just so interesting.
Thank you. Beautiful atmosphere. Thank you very much.
I dream of ice cream, a cone of mint chocolate chip, perfect for the heat of this day.
I dream of Leopold's ice cream shop along Broughton Avenue, stopping place for tourists in Savannah.
I dream of a bronze woman, muscles thick, waiting for me in the wrestler's ring.
Nancy wrote this, by the way. Don't implicate me, Bernardo. I dream of the musical chimes of the ice cream truck on the late summer days growing up.
I dream of creepy men in white coats and gloves.
I dream of the perfect childhood and a perfect home like a dollhouse.
I dream of driving down Brookline Avenue, never finding the exit home.
I dream of a bad cocaine trip.
I dream of rolling in a narrow bed with a stranger. His hair is blonde, his body lean.
Well, actually, no. I dream of days without end, days without sun, without moon or horizon.
I dream of becoming a TV, a flashing image after image, a replay of 20th century history.
I dream of being aloft like an albatross. Albatross, the world at my wings.
I dream in black and white.
I dream in sepia.
I dream of a pile of Hershey chocolate bits and I am Electra. Thank you so much.
On behalf of many rivers,
we have a concluding number.
I'll just say that my closing words now, and then we'll end on a song. Perfect. That's a nice thing. Mm-hmm. So I just want to point out to you, we actually have a donation bowl over here. We hope you will generously contribute to it, which we share with our speakers and help and the retained half to help maintain this space for further such events. I encourage you to take a look at the work of the our presenters tonight over here on the way up. And thank you all for coming tonight. And
hit it. A word of explanation. This poem came to mind when Nancy and Amy and I started talking about this combination of words and music, and this song just jumped right into my head. And it turns out that there's been a lot on the radio about the 50th anniversary of the collaboration between the songwriters Robert Hunter and Jerry Garcia. And if you know the words and really like it, you join in. And if you don't know the words, there's a part for you near the end. That's unpardonable. This is why I was on the ash heap of 30
glow with golden sunshine. And my tunes were played on a harp unstrung. Would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand me down. Thoughts are broken, perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know, don't really care. Let there be songs to fill the air, ripple in still. There is no pebble tossed, no wind to blow. Reach out your hand, if the cup be empty, if your cup be full, let it be again. Let it be known there is a fountain that was not made by the hand of man. There is a road, no simple highway, between the dawn and the dark of night. And we go, no one may follow that path of thought. Your steps from home, ripple in still water, when there is no pebble tossed, no wind to blow. We may choose to leave, must follow, but if you fall, you fall alone. If you should stand, then who's to guide? If I knew the way, I would take you home, my da 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 da. If I knew the way, I would take you home.
Here's to the grace of the day.
We also bought some of our collages that are down here. We chose collages that were oriented towards the word, to bring.
Wonderful imaging.
She's so good.
Amazing.